I just wanted to clarify before I started. I did give Maulana Suleiman Mahmoud, the previous speaker and our chair for the program, full permission to take as long as possible. I would have felt bad maybe if, you know, the crowd wasn't enjoying it, but as, you know, attendee, I enjoyed it. I wish he kept going. So I don't want anybody to hold him accountable for going over time. It was my suggestion. As whatever little I can speak about, mashallah, tabarakallah, he was definitely driving the point home. The thing I wanted to start with is more of an issue and a challenge that we as a global community are facing. And we all know that we are facing this issue. We all know that this is a challenge that we as human beings are dealing with. However, sometimes if you don't mention it, it just is forgotten. It's wiped under the rug. Nobody mentions it. No one talks about it. And it's not forgotten, but it's not highlighted. And it doesn't help us get to a solution. It's almost like if somebody's been working out and eating healthy and counting their calories and doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing, they know they're doing it. In fact, they're actively losing weight and they're actively, you know, on the scale every morning and eating healthy and counting their calories and doing all of that. But the moment someone says it to them and says, you know, have you dropped a few pounds? Then it really like brings it all home, right? And it really hits them and it's a highlight of their day and they go around talking to everybody about it. So the fact that somebody just mentions it and highlights it, it really drives the point home. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have somebody that's gaining weight and eating more than normal, stressed out, not counting his calories, not going out for walks and all of that. And then, you know, continuously, you know, he might be, confusing himself or trying to deceive himself as, you know, I'm okay, I'm still fitting in the clothes. And but the moment someone says you gained a few pounds, then it really hits home. So in the same way, it's one of those things where we know we're going through this issue as a global community, but just to bring it to everyone's attention, and that is the attention, the issue of completely leaving the community, being socially isolated, and being, you know, the rates of mental health issues from depression, anxiety, suicide through the roof. All of these issues are really impacting our societies, and we know it. And we turn around and we may blame certain things. Just on my way in, I remember I once read in Deceitful, I forgot what the name of the book is. It's the orange book that's on the bookstore table there. Digital Deceptions by Dr. Ahmed Hawidi, and he visited us last year. In the just the first few pages, you know, just reading the first few pages will really drive home the point. But anyways, in the first few pages, he mentions a stat that the average U.S. American will spend up to 44 years looking at a screen. The average U.S. American will spend up to 44 years looking at a screen, whether it's a computer screen, their phone screen, whatever it may be. Just imagine 44 years of your life spent looking at a screen. This is definitely something that's causing these issues where we are socially isolating ourselves and breaking up the communities that we live in. And how I'm connecting to this to my talk is essentially looking at the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and looking at the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a blueprint to fix the very neighborhoods and communities that we have, and to fix this issue of the mental health issues, the suicide rates, the anxiety issues, all of the different issues we're facing as a society. The blueprint to fixing that is the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So one of the things that we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, and it's interesting if you just think about it, it's the modern paradox that we are more digitally connected than we've ever been, but we are more lonely as social, as human beings than ever before. In fact, the stats say 1 in 3 human beings reports being lonely, being isolated, not having a community around them. And so this is something that we essentially have to remember and think about, the fact that what's bringing us to this point. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets to Medina, and the challenge there is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to build a community. And the first words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while he's there, while he gets to Medina, are four pieces of advice, and four pieces of advice that will help build community, help build our neighborhoods and our families. And the hadith reported by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu was of the Jewish faith, a rabbi, and he said, I just went to hear what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had to say. And he says, I see the Prophet and I know this is not the face of a liar. And the first few things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said were afshus salam, spread salam, say salam to those that are around you. Wa at'imu at'am, and feed other people. Wasilul arham, and maintain ties of relationship with family and kin. Wasallu billayli wan nasu niyam, and pray at night while people are sleeping. Tadkhulul jannata bi salam, and you will enter Jannah with peace. Now look at the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said? Afshu salam. He said, spread peace, say salam, spread greetings amongst one another. This is the oldest thing in the book, that when a person just says salam and just greets one another, it breaks all types of thoughts or misunderstandings, misconceptions a person may have. It can be just small talk, but just saying salam, getting to know one another on a very, even though a person may say a very surface level, it is not only the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it inculcates love within a community. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith mentions that if a person wants to enter Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, do you not want to enter Jannah? The Sahaba, of course, they said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not enter Jannah until you believe. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added to that and said, وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. And you will not believe until you love one another. So you need to love one another, and that will complete your iman. When your iman is completed, then you will enter Jannah. However, how do you love one another? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not tell you something? If you do it, it will increase your love for, amongst yourselves. The Sahaba said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread salam amongst yourselves. So the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was spread salam. Second thing, أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Feed people. Feed people. It doesn't have to be a 5-course meal. It doesn't have to be something that's extremely expensive. It doesn't have to be months of planning. It can be as something as a small snack. It can be something as just part of what you have had. But doing this will again increase community. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. وَصِيلُ الْأَرْحَامِ, and maintain ties of kinship. So within your families, within your neighborhoods, within your communities, do what you can to make sure you keep good ties of relationship. Now a person may ask, it's a given, it's family, it's community, that's there, we'll try, but it's very difficult. And we know it's very difficult. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ drives this point home again and again. You must take care of your relationships with family, with community, with friends, because shaitan will try his utmost to break that relationship. Because shaitan knows by breaking the community, by breaking the family tie, by breaking any type of relationship, it leads to the very social isolation that we're dealing with today. With the anxiety, with the depression, with the suicide. All of these things will lead to a broken human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. We've made you into different tribes and nations. لِتَعَارَفُوا. So that you may understand one another. The fact that we know one another, that we relate to one another, we have relationships with one another, is one of the reasons that uphold us as human beings. And so shaitan knows that the breaking of ties will lead to these social issues that we are dealing with today. And then the last thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. So three out of the four, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three out of the four things, 75%. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, try your best. And these three things, 75% is in regards to dealing with the community, in regards to building relationships, in regards to having good ties with those around you, saying salam, having good communication with them. The last thing, having good communication with Allah. So 3/4 of it, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, connect with those around you. The last fourth, remember to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَلُّوا بِالْلَيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Pray at night while people are praying. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامُ. You will enter Jannah with peace. So active social connection, building that, we find that from the teachings of the Quran in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Specifically in regards to neighbors, I'm reminded of the stories of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, who was a great scholar. In fact, he wore many hats. A scholar, a zahid, someone that spent 6 months out of the year defending the Muslim lands, and then 6 months out of the year he would spend learning and teaching knowledge. And he was known to be someone who was very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a few things about Abdullah bin Mubarak. He was a tabi'i, so he was three generations away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I'm not mistaken, born around 120 years after the hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And one of the things he was known for is his good relationship with his neighbors. So 6 months out of the year, he would leave his house and he would go defend the Muslim lands. He would literally go to the borders of the Muslim lands and defend the borders of the Muslim lands. One time he came back from one of these expeditions and he had seen a dream while he was away that his neighbor had entered into Jannah. And his neighbor was in Jannah. So he came home to find out what was going on. He went and knocked on the neighbor's door. The wife of the neighbor opened the door. He asked for the neighbor and she said that he's passed away. So he asked the neighbor, what was it that that he did that was so unique? Because as a person in the community, he was just someone that worked and had a hard job, and he was out most of the day. He provided for his family, but he had no specific unique relationship with Allah that people were aware of. People were not aware of some specific special relationship. He wasn't an imam. He wasn't up front. He wasn't studying. He wasn't in the front softs of the masjid. He wasn't looked at as someone that had a very close relationship with Allah. He may have, but what was it that he had such a close relationship with Allah that I saw in a dream that he is in Jannah? So the wife explained to Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah that he would come home from work late at night, and he was tired during the day working physical manual labor, and he would see you on the roof of your house praying, and he would see you on the roof of your house reading Quran and doing dhikr and doing so much for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of his own remorse that I do not have the energy to do so much ibadah, and I don't have the time to do so much ibadah, I don't have the availability to make so much ibadah, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, his neighbor would cry out of remorse and regret that I wish I had so much time that I could also spend the nights worshipping Allah, and I could spend the nights making dua to Allah, and I could spend the nights making dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, if there was anything out of all of his good deeds, it was the true, sincere, genuine remorse he had in his heart that I wish I could be like Abdullah bin Mubarak. That's all I have to offer. There's nothing else I have that I can show that he was so close to Allah. It was just the sincere, deep regret in his heart that he couldn't do what you did. And through this love of doing good a'mal, this love and this yearning and this anticipation and this hope from Allah, and also regret and remorse in the court of Allah that I do not have that relationship with him like Abdullah bin Mubarak does, due to that, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this yearning that he had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him Jannah. Anyways, that was a side story. Again, actually highlighting the fact that he had such a close relationship with his neighbors that he would he was out for 6 months and then came home and then asked the family about him. Anyways, the story I wanted to mention, and again, this is about, you know, you can say roughly 150 years after the passing away of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to add context to that as well, he was from roughly around modern day Turkmenistan, and like I mentioned, all the different things of Abdullah bin Mubarak. He had a Jewish neighbor, and he had very good akhlaq, of course, with his Jewish neighbor. And he would, spend time with him, and he would, take care of his needs. Similarly to what the stories that Mawlana Sulaiman Mahmud was mentioning. So close to his neighbor that the neighbor had a need one day, and he had to sell his house. And this Jewish neighbor puts his house up for sale. And as he puts up his house for sale, people would come look at it. And Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah, became aware that he's selling his house. Anyways, this price of the house was double what the value of the house was. So instead of selling it for 1,000 dinar, the neighbor, the Jewish neighbor, had listed the house for 2,000 dinar instead of 1,000. When people would ask that your house is not worth that much, what's putting, you know, what's spiking the rate? What the house is not worth that much. Why are you putting 2,000 dinar as the price of this house when it's really only worth 1,000? He said 1,000 is for the house and 1,000 is for the neighbor Abdullah bin Mubarak. If you purchase the house, not only are you getting the house, but you're getting Abdullah bin Mubarak as a neighbor. And that value is more than even the 1,000 I'm putting on it. The house is just 1,000. The other 1,000 is for having Abdullah bin Mubarak as a neighbor. Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah, he hears of this, and then he tells the neighbor that if you're in such a need that you need to sell your house for money, then you know what? I'll give you the 2,000 dinar and you remain in the house. Out of his generosity and love for his neighbor, then Abdullah bin Mubarak purchased the house so that neighbor could stay. So these are stories that we find in the stories of our in the lives of our pious predecessors, who would go out of their way to make sure that their neighbors are well taken care of. And like Mawlana Sulaiman Mahmud was mentioning, it's just showing a way of doing da'wah, and it is a way of showing the true akhlaq of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the very scary things about not having good relationships with one's neighbor is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam defined iman with being a good neighbor. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 3 times says, Wallahi la yu'min. By Allah, a person is not a believer. 3 times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took an oath. By Allah, a person is not a believer. By Allah, such a person is not a believer. By Allah, a person is not a believer. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked, O Prophet of Allah, who are you talking about? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that person who does not take care of his neighbors. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked specifically about a person who does all of the good deeds. And I will mention the hadith word for word. The Sahaba came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna fulanatan yudhkaru min kathrati salatiha wa sadaqatiha wa siyamiha. There is a female, there is a lady, she is known for her salah, and she is known for her sadaqah, and she is known for her fasting. The majority of us that are sitting here, I have husnul dhan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted us all to be aware of our dini and our dini obligations, our responsibilities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to fasting, when it comes to salah, when it comes to performing hajj and umrah, I have no doubt in my mind that the crowd that's here today is very aware of our rights that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, shaitan has different keys for different individuals. So a person that does perform their hajj and does give their zakah and is giving sadaqah and fasts Ramadan and memorizes Quran, shaitan won't deceive such a person through not having him perform hajj, or through having him not perform his salah, or having him miss out on ibadah or sadaqah or zakah. Shaitan will not deceive him in his deen by having him avoid the ibadat. The key that shaitan uses for such a person is through different means. Whether it's through a person's mu'amalat, their dealings, shaitan will deceive them into thinking you're praying your salah and you are giving zakah and you've been to hajj so many times and you read the Quran, you've memorized the Quran, etc., etc., etc. And a person may feel content about these things. However, when it comes to mu'amalat, their business dealings, or their financial dealings, or their dealings with people, their mu'asharat, or their akhlaq, then shaitan will have them feel that I'm doing enough on the ibadah side, so it's fine. Or shaitan will deceive them or trick them into thinking, if I have a little bit less of akhlaq, or if I'm a little bit have a deficiency in regards to that, it won't make a big deal. Why? Because I'm taking care of my ibadat. And so this is exactly the case in this situation. The Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This woman, she is known for her salah, and she is known for her zakah, and she is known for her fasting. However, tu'zi jiranaha bi lisaniha. She is inconveniencing her neighbors through means of her speech. She's not even doing anything physical, just through means of speech, she is inconveniencing her neighbors." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the Sahaba asking? Like, what's the outcome? Right? A lot of times we have like these kind of problems in our mind, or we come up with like a very out of the box situation. How about, what about this and what about that? We know the reward of this, and we know the reward of that, and the sin of this. But what if we put it all together? Right? I tell the students, like, sometimes I wish I had an Excel sheet. Like, you could just put it in. Like, you know, you do this good deed, but you're doing it like this. What's the output? Like, what, you know, that, put in the algorithm. What's the output of such a thing? We don't have that Excel sheet. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can factor in the niyyah and can factor in the different situations. Unfortunately, fortunately, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if it was up to us as human beings, we'd be very brutal. In any case, the Sahaba here, they're asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, what's the, you know, here's the input. Lots of salah, lots of zakah, lots of siyam. However, in terms of her akhlaq, she abuses her neighbors verbally. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could give a judgment on this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hiya finnar." She will be in the hellfire. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum said, "Okay, O Prophet of Allah, how about the exact opposite? Ya Rasulullah, فَإِنَّ فُلَانَةَ يُذْكَرُ مِنْ قِلَّةُ صِيَامِهَا وَصَدَقَتِهَا وَصَلَاتِهَا." How about someone that's known for just a little bit of their salah? They, you could say, pray the bare minimum. Give the bare minimum zakah. Do the bare minimum fasting. They're not known for excessively fasting. They're not known for excessively giving zakah. They're not known for excessively praying lots of salah. They're actually known for the exact opposite, just the bare minimum. However, in regards to their neighbors, وَإِنَّهَا تَتَصَدَّقُ بِأَثْوَارِ مِنَ الْأَقِطِ. When it comes to the neighbors, are they the best neighbors? No, they're just sharing a little bit. In fact, the hadith mentions just a little bit of cheese, just a little bit of yogurt or curds. They just share a little bit. It's not like a five-star meal, just a little bit. وَلَا تُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا. And they do not, this person does not harm their neighbor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hiya fil jannah." Such a person you are speaking about, such a woman you are speaking about, she will be in paradise and will be in Jannah. So again, shaitan will have his keys to deceive us into thinking that my salah is good, my zakah is good, my sadaqah is good, my ibadah is good, my sawm is good. However, when it comes to our akhlaq, then shaitan will have a deficiency, will cause us to have a deficiency in our akhlaq. One of the major things that we find from this hadith is not to cause any harm. And this is a very, very important principle in our deen. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith mentions the definition of a Muslim. Right? Like, for example, we say it as a joke. You know, if somebody is known for their corruption, or someone is known for being a thief, then you could say, you know what, this person is like the exact definition of a thief. You know, you look it up in the dictionary and you've got their picture there. Or this person is the exact definition of corruption. You look it up in the dictionary, their picture deserves that spot in the dictionary. Right? So sometimes we say this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing the exact opposite here. What is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing? He's defining what a Muslim is. So how would you define a Muslim? You could define a Muslim by many things. However, in this specific hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim, a true Muslim, is someone, man salim al lisan, a person from whose hands and tongue other people are safe. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is highlighting the fact that a Muslim, the definition of a Muslim, is someone who does not cause harm to other people. So, to do good is great. To offer food is great. To be there to help them is great. However, the least a person can do, and this is what's found in the hadith of this neighbor, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that they're the best neighbors and they're offering lots of food and they're taking care of them. However, the Prophet ﷺ defined a good neighbor as offering a little bit as well as not causing any harm. This not causing any harm is enough to qualify someone as, unfortunately, it's like lowering the standard completely. Like, what's good akhlaq? Just not causing harm to someone. However, the Prophet ﷺ said, this person will be in Jannah, a person who does not cause harm. Instead of causing harm, we want to be the means of entering happiness into their hearts. The Prophet ﷺ mentions in a hadith that from amongst the most beloved actions, and there's a genre of hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ mentions ahabbul a'mal, the most beloved of actions. And it's a very beautiful study. There's a few, but a person who really wants to see where did the Prophet ﷺ said are the most beloved actions in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved of actions are those, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ, those actions which may be little, however, they are consistent. Right? It's not millions of dollars, it's just a few, but it's consistent. It's not lots of nafil fasts, but it's a few and it's consistent. Right? So lots of nafil fasts, maybe in 1 month or in 1 week. What's more beloved to Allah, that a person spreads it out and does it consistently. Same thing with any good deed. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, these are the most beloved actions in the sight of Allah, those actions which may be little, however they are consistent. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most beloved actions in the sight of Allah are those actions in which, or through which, a person becomes a means of entering happiness into the heart of another person. So when we become a means of entering happiness into the heart of another person, then this will become a means of us getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I mentioned, going back to the beginning, the fact that we are dealing with so many social issues and so much social isolation, and the fact that we're retreating to the dark corners of our homes and retreating back to our phones, and this is causing so many different type of issues, we need to remind ourselves that going back to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as little as getting to know your neighbors, as little as learning the fiqh of neighbors. This is very interesting. As I was reading through some notes in regards to neighbors, and as we've studied in the past, there's literal fiqhi discussions on what a neighbor is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah, don't associate any partners. Well, and then, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be good to your parents. And be good to, وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى, to your relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, in the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, in the poor people. On the seventh, right, top 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what things to do. The seventh thing, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, those neighbors that are close to you in relation. So those neighbors that are your relatives, beware of their rights. But not just that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doubles down. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, those that are your neighbors that are your relatives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes out of his way to say, do not forget those that are not your relatives. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, those that are close to you. Those that are close to you and those that live around you. So I was mentioning fiqhi academic discussions. According to, for example, Imam Ahmad and Imam Shafi'i, what is a neighbor? And you can go into the academic discussions of a neighbor being 40 households around where a person lives. You can roughly estimate maybe a neighborhood, a street. Other imma, for example, Imam Malik rahimahullah says it's those that are immediately close to him. So to his right, to his left, across the street, as long as it's not across a river or across a main street or something that's very far away, and those that are behind him. Imam Abu Hanifa is of the opinion that those that are directly connected to him, essentially those to his right, his left, immediately in front, immediately in back. So the scholars have gone, because it's such an important thing to take care of, scholars have gone into so much detail and discussed what exactly is a neighbor, because we will be held responsible for, well, who our neighbors are. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and I'll end with this, again, just highlighting the importance of neighbors. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُصِينِي بِالْجَارِ. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam continue to remind me about the rights of neighbors. Continue to remind me about the rights of neighbors. Continue to remind me about rights of neighbors. So much, حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. So much so that I thought maybe on the list of inheritors, when a person passes away, maybe, possibly, perhaps the neighbor will also inherit. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam reminded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam so much about a neighbor that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, I started to think when the list of inheritors will be given, most possibly a neighbor will be there as well. Now, is it? No. A neighbor is not an inheritor. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is using this method to highlight to us the importance that our neighbors and the rights that our neighbors have upon us. So going back again to the social issues that we deal with in the communities. Spending so much time on our devices is definitely causing harm to our mental health. And we see the eradication of social community, of a community within our neighborhoods. As Muslims living in a non-Muslim, predominantly non-Muslim land, it is a responsibility upon us for our neighbors to get to know us, for us to get to know them, to display good akhlaq and to have good relationships with them, because not only is it something that we need and it's da'wah and all of that, however, more importantly, because the Prophet ﷺ defined a Muslim as someone whose neighbors are pleased with him. So our iman is dependent on it. It's not just something that's culturally nice to say. It's not just something that is part of our tradition. It's part of our tradition. It's part of our iman. In regards to guests, there's so much to say. But again, I want to lay down the main principle. And the main principle is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a means of happiness to whomever he connected with. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never a means of causing harm or inconvenience to those around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to go back home and to connect with our neighbors. First and foremost, this is a reminder to myself to follow up. And like Maulana Sulaiman Mahmood said, you know, there's always good examples for us to learn from. He learned from his teacher. In my life, I just need to look nowhere further than my own parents. So close to our neighbors, growing up where we grew up, so close to our neighbors that quite literally, the neighbors were like our families. From and non-Muslims, from graduations to weddings to house gatherings, our neighbors were always with us. In fact, just a few months ago, the neighbor that I grew up around passed away. And my mother said, my parents, even though they are elderly, continued to serve our neighbor to the extent that my father and my mother would go to her house and change her clothes, help her get out of bed, administer her medicine. And the last time, and she was very sick and elderly, and the last time she was being taken away on an ambulance cart, she told my mother that you are an angel. You are truly an angel. And I have no further to look than my own parents, and all of us have examples in our life. People who reached out and had true relationship with their neighbors, this is something for us that we should take home and try to inculcate and implement in our own lives, because our iman depends on it. Our iman depends on it. It's not just something that's socially cool or culturally a tradition, but something that our iman depends on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the himmah, the courage, to avoid causing harm to those around us, and instead be a means of happiness, be a means of peace, be a means of joy, be a means of Islam for those around us. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.